Brother Don read to us this morning out of Luke chapter 24. I want you to turn back there if you don't mind. Luke chapter 24. I want to read two verses that he read earlier, and then we'll get into our message here. So if you've got your Bible open, look at verses 5 and verse 6. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee." All right. My, what a wonderful scripture reading we had in the verses this morning, because they give the story of the resurrection. You can read this story in all of the Gospels. They have something to say about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I believe this statement that we have here, when you look at that verse 6 there, "He is not here, but is risen." Now, that may be one of the greatest statements that's ever been said by man. But yet we know these two men in shining garments were probably angels. So this morning, whether an angel or whether a man, that's probably the greatest statement that you'll ever hear in all your life. "He is not here, but is risen." You know, in our lifetime, all of us have heard and read about men that have made great statements in the past. You know, one that we certainly realized was great here in America was that statement, "Give me liberty or give me death." And one that I guess you might say to the Filipino people was a great statement they had was from General Douglas MacArthur, "I will return." Thank you, Lord, he did. Then, you know, I guess the president that all of us, when we think about his horrible death when he was assassinated up in Dallas, Texas, Mr. Kennedy, I think all of us, you know, we're sad by what happened to that man in his life. He got cut off. He was loved by people around the world. And he made one of the greatest statements that I think we've ever heard in our time. "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." That is so profound. That is a great statement. We could change that up a little bit and make it like this. "Don't ask what your church can do for you. Ask what you can do for your church." Amen. That would be all right. And then one that is great is, "We have just begun to fight." That was a great statement. But there's one even greater, especially to Texas people, especially to us here in Texas. You know what it is? "Remember the Alamo." That was a great statement when it was made. "But he is not here, but is risen, tops them all." That is so great. God's people leap with joy. I mean, when we think about our Savior, who died on that old rugged cross, got up from the grave on that Easter Sunday morning, he is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Easter is a great day. I know a few people that got saved on Easter, and so they always can remember their spiritual birthday. Now, if I would ask the question this morning, and so I'll just do it, what does Easter mean to you? No doubt there would be many different answers, you know, to that question, but one that many would have in this building this morning would be this right here. Easter speaks of a new beginning. I feel the same way. Easter comes in the springtime, and spring brings us new life in nature. My, we see the bluebonnets already along the roadsides and how beautiful they are. Peggy and I went down to Nacogdoches, Texas last Wednesday. Actually, we went on Tuesday and we stayed Tuesday and Wednesday in Nacogdoches, Texas. And if you're not aware of it, Nacogdoches, Texas is the oldest town in the state of Texas. The oldest town. Peggy and I felt right at home there. Some of you will figure that out. All right. We felt right at home in that oldest town in Texas. We got to go to the Azalea Park there where they have the largest gathering the largest park area where they have these beautiful flowers. And my, it was beautiful to look at them. We walked all the way through the park and around, even in some new park area where they're starting it up now. And it was just a great time. We even got to go to Barnhill's. How many of you ever heard of Barnhill's, the cafe? Yes, a few of you have been blessed here in the building. Amen. We went there and ate, and it was so good the first time. We went back the second time and had a meal there at Barnhill's, right there next to the University of Stephen F. Austin. Did you know that Stephen F. Austin was the first university in the state of Texas? Over 13,000 students are there in that university. So it was a beautiful place, and we enjoyed the time that we got to be there. Now, I want to say that in the springtime, we have all the beautiful flowers coming out and everything. Our spirit takes on a new life in the spring. I mean, we get excited about life. We feel like there's something good going to happen. Many will, in the springtime, wash their old car. But some of us will not, as the dirt is the only thing that's holding it together. Some will paint their house in the springtime. Some will plant flowers in the springtime. Many will plan their vacation to go see Mickey Mouse. It don't get any better than that. So the springtime is a wonderful, wonderful time. In this building now, there are people who feel like, and after telling you all those good things, I hate to say this, there are people here who feel like there's no hope for them. Things are not turning out the way you want them to. It doesn't seem like you're progressing any at all. Seems like you're slipping back further and further. You know, it's sort of like that old song. Do you remember this song right here? It used to be on the television. It says, "If it was not for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all." And that's sort of the way some people feel, you know. It's just not working out the way they want it to. Have you ever had a day when you feel like nobody likes you and everybody is against you? Have you ever had a day like that? Well, let me tell you, first of all, God loves you. God loves each one in this building. And I want to say this church loves you also. So you are loved. Whether you feel it or know it, you are loved. Now, let me say something, and I pray that you understand what I'm about to say. Calvary was no accident. Some people sort of believe that Jesus just got caught up, and it just happened by accident that he had to go to the cross and die. But I want to tell you something. God had Calvary all planned out before the foundation of the world. So Calvary was not just an incident that happened by accident. It was something planned by Almighty God for the redemption of mankind. My, that is so wonderful. I like that. The Bible says it like this, "But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." If you are in this building and lost, hear this now. I want you to hear me very well, because I want you to know what you're going to do in a little while. If you're in this building and you are not saved, and if you walk out of this building not having put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will have to turn your back on Calvary. You'll have to turn your back on the Bible. You'll have to turn your back on the church. You'll have to turn your back on the Holy Spirit. And you'll have to turn your back on this preacher, because I'm telling you this morning, Jesus is present to save all who will come to Him by faith. Now, you know this verse is in your Bible. You've probably read it yourself. All have sinned. That's just three words out of a verse in the Bible. All have sinned. Now, you may be asking yourself a question. What does that mean when it says all have sinned? Well, let me read the whole verse to you. Let me read this whole verse to you. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Now, notice those words, "and come short of the glory of God." Now, man can exceed his own expectations, but left to himself, you will never attain to God's standard of righteousness, which is the glory of God. So that's why you need a Savior. This Easter can be a new beginning for you in your life. The best days are ahead of you when you come to Jesus and trust Him as your personal Savior. Now, there's sort of a sad note here. Easter can be a new beginning for your marriage. You know, marriage is in trouble in this country right now. And I know that you probably understand all the talk that you're hearing on television, what's going on in the Supreme Court, what others have said about marriage, you know. Well, if you destroy marriage in America, you destroy America. Now, you need to understand that. These people are doing what they're doing, not because they're wanting to make America stronger, but they're doing what they're doing to destroy this great country. When you break the marriage down and you destroy it, then you destroy the nation that you live in. You know this without me saying it. You've seen the statistics. Over 50% of all marriages end up in divorce. This is true with saved and lost also. You know, one woman said, "My husband is dumb. He is a moron. And he's worthless. And those are his good points." Yes, I understand. Look who he married. Amen. All right. Marriage is not to be a war zone. Marriage was not intended for the husband and wife to be at each other's throat all the time. No, marriage is not to be a war zone. Understand this right here. Kissing is more fun. Amen. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. Amen. Yes, I'll tell you what, it's a lot more fun than arguing and fighting and so on like that. Some of you in this room, and I don't say this with any kind of joy, but some of you in this room may not be together this time next year. Don't say amen, but it's true. Some of you in this building may not be together this time next Easter. No, you cannot stand each other now, and your sex life is dead. You know what you need to do? You need to let God turn around your marriage. Only God can do that. You and her need to look towards God and ask God to speak to you out of His Word and see what the Bible has to say about marriage. Let me read a couple of verses to you. Don't even try to turn there. I'll give you the verses in just a moment. But it says, "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth." Now, that's a great verse there. If you know anything about where this verse is found in Proverbs, you know that that verse is talking about the relationship of a man and his wife. "Let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as a loving hind," that's a deer, "and a pleasant roe," that's a graceful doe. "Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thy ravish always with her love." Now, the word ravish there is an interesting word. It means enraptured. If you literally broke it down, that word literally means intoxicated. You've heard me say this before, but let me say it again. About 60 years ago, I got drunk on Peggy. Amen. And I want to tell you today, on this Easter Sunday morning, I have no plan on sobering up. Amen. I'll tell you one thing. Amen. Let's go ahead. Peggy is better than sweet tea. Boy, you've got to be good when you're better than sweet tea. Praise God and dancing in the Spirit. Man, amen. I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22 if you want to in your Bible. This is a great verse, and you've heard people read it and quote it from time to time. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. "Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Now, man, that is an outstanding verse. Let me read it again. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor of the Lord. I may not have much, but I do have a good thing. Amen? That's right. That's right. I have a good thing. Hallelujah! Now, let me say this. Notice the word T-H-I-N-G was an added word. You'll notice it's in italics there in your Bible. And so let me read it without that word. I think it's even got more power. Listen to it this way. Whosoever findeth a wife findeth a good. Amen. You can just add anything you want to that. Amen. A good friend, a good wife, a good companion, a good mate. I mean, it's just outstanding. Findeth a good. Yes, yes. Now, let me move on. I may forget that I'm Baptist and get carried away here. But now, I woke up the other morning, and the Holy Spirit woke me up, and it was about 2:30 in the morning. And the Holy Spirit had this to say to me. He said this in my spirit now. He said, Mickey, why does the devil and this world reject the resurrection of Jesus? Now, I know some of you say, I find that hard to believe. Well, let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit likes the name Mickey. Amen. He likes that name. And so He was talking to me. Now, the answer came clear to me of the question about the resurrection of Christ. I mean, in the middle of the night, sound asleep, Mickey, wake up! I want to ask you a question. Why does the world hate the message of the resurrection? Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want to begin reading, if you will, let me down in verse 1 there, in Matthew chapter 28. And I want to read down to verse 7. In the end of the Sabbath, as it was beginning to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Marys to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and set upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angels answered and said unto the women, Fear not, ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen. As He said, come see the place where the Lord lieth, and go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. Amen. You know, from the very first day of the resurrection, the world has been trying to cover it up. They've been calling it a lie. They have done everything they could to convince people that the resurrection is not real. I mean, I've heard this all my Christian life. All my Christian life. They make fun of Christians who believe in the resurrection. Like we're believing something that's not true. We must be all senile or something and so on. But from the very first day. Now I want you to see one of the most ridiculous statements you will find in the Bible. I mean, this has to do with the Easter story. Would you look at Matthew chapter 28, and would you look at verse 12 and 13? And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to think about this. How can you swear to something while you're asleep? How can you do it? Do you know what's going around and what's happening around you when you're asleep? No! But this is how ridiculous it is. They gave these soldiers large sums of money and told them to tell the story while you slept. His disciples. Well, couldn't it have been somebody else that took his body if it was taken away? You see, it's ridiculous what the world says, and yet they claim to be so smart. You cannot testify what you don't see. You cannot testify something's true if you are asleep. Amen and amen. Here's the answer to our question. Here's the answer. Without the resurrection of Jesus after His death, after His burial, He would be no better. Now you need to get this. This is what the world's trying to do by covering up the resurrection and by telling us it's not true. There are some that go so far as to say He didn't really die on the cross. He just passed out. And in the coolness of the tomb, He revived. No, no, no. He died on that rugged cross. The Bible says it over and over again. He died on that cross for the sins of mankind. He was taken down after they had examined Him. After the governor had examined Him, then He gave Him to Joseph and Nicodemus to take down off of the cross. He was dead. He was dead. They buried Him. They buried Him. And then the Bible says, when they came that resurrection morning, He was not there. Now, let's say what it is. If Jesus didn't come out of the grave, here it is now, folks. Don't miss it. You came to church, don't miss it. Jesus came out of the grave, but if He did not come out of the grave, He's no better than any other God in this world. Because every other God with a little g is in His grave today. Jesus is the only one that got up after death and was resurrected and lives today to give life unto people. That's why they want to keep Him in the grave, so all these other gods will be just as great as Jesus. Have you noticed that only Jesus is criticized by the world? They don't criticize these other gods. Because there's something special about Jesus. And what's special about Jesus is He died and now He's alive. Amen and amen. Now listen, Jesus got out of His grave. He got out of His grave and that tells me something special. Now, I want you to listen. I've got to read these scriptures quickly. But listen to these verses right here. This ought to be the evidence. This ought to be something you can believe. In John, it says that many come early and it was dark. And Mary came early and it was dark. And she saw the stone was taken away from the sepulcher. Luke says, two angels said, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. Mark said, Mary Magdalene and some of the other women found the stone rolled away. And a young man in white, which we believe was an angel, said to them, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. And then the verse that we had in our scripture reading, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2, and behold, there was a great... Well, this wasn't our scripture reading. I was wrong about that. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And the angel said to them, He is not here, for He is risen. Church, I have no trouble believing in the resurrection. If I believe the Word of God is true, I believe in the resurrection. If you want to follow some liberal professor in some state college, then you can follow them. But for me, I believe what the Bible says. He is risen. That's what I believe. That's what I believe. Now, what did He say after that? Well, the Bible says that when we find the grave is empty, we were to go and tell. The women were told to go and tell the other disciples. You and I are to go and tell this lost and dying world that there is one that loves them so much. He came, He died, but He has been resurrected. And His resurrection proves that His death on Calvary was accepted by God as the sacrifice for the sins of mankind. Amen. 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 So go and tell. You've got something to tell. You can tell the world He's alive. They say, how do you know He's alive? Because He lives within my heart. That's where He lives today, in my heart. God paid for our sins on the cross, then got up from the grave to show us that the plan of salvation is now finished. It's been paid for and it's been accepted. Our God is alive today. He's alive. Come unto me. I want you to say these words out loud. I want you to say it where the person across the other side of the building can hear you say it. I'll say it, then you say it. Jesus is alive. One more time, Jesus is alive.
Jesus is alive.
Don't you let the devil take that away from you. Don't you let the devil take that away from you. Say it one more time. Jesus is alive. Some of you forgot it already. Say it again. Jesus is alive. Amen. Amen. Well, let me ask you, and I'll close with this right here. What do you think Jesus would be saying to us this morning? Well, I believe the invitation that Jesus gives to you and I as Christian is that we are to come. Jesus wants you to come to Him just as you are. You know yourself better than anybody else. And you know what your needs are this morning. You may be here, you're not a Christian. You need to let Jesus be your Savior. You may be here carrying a heavy burden today. You need to come to Jesus and let Him carry that burden for you. You have needs today. You need to ask Him to take care of that need. He is willing to do that for you. You may be here this morning and say, preacher, I'm so lonely in life. Why don't you find the friend that will never leave you? Why don't you come and say, Jesus, come into my heart. Let me know that You're real. And stay with me because I want You in my life. I need a friend. I need a friend. And here's the last little thing. You may be here this morning and God has blessed you in so many ways. And on this Easter Sunday morning, would you like to thank Him for it? Would you like to give Him praise for what He's done in your life?
Amen.
We always have an altar call on Sunday morning because we realize people come into this building. We don't know anything about what they're going through. So we give you a chance to talk to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the One that got up out of the grave. Talk to Him, because He can help you. He can help you. Would you stand with me? Would you stand? Whatever your need may be, this morning He's alive, and so He can meet that need. While our folks are coming to get ready for the invitation, let's just bow our heads. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. I just want to pray that you do what God wants you to do this morning. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, I approach Your throne. God, I thank You for this Easter Sunday morning. I thank You, Lord, that we don't worship a dead Savior. Our Savior is alive. He sits at the right hand of His Father in heaven to make intercession for us. God, we know You're alive. We feel Your presence. We know You're real today. God, look down upon us. God, you know our needs. God, meet each one of them. God, bless us as only you can. God, touch us as you only can. God, minister to that one that's hurting, that one that's in need, that one that's got sorrow, that one that's hurting. God, minister to them. Father, I invite them to come, find them a place of prayer, and have a little talk with Jesus this morning, and everything will be better. Father, we thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. God, give this invitation. We don't give it for a show. We give it where people can have a time with the Lord in prayer. God, we invite them to come. We encourage them to come. Oh, Jesus, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.